Welcome to the Dump Him podcast, discussing all things modern day dating, learning to love yourself, and when you should just dump him, or her, or them. Hi guys, welcome back to the Dump Him podcast. I'm Francesca.
And Kitty.
And today we have a super exciting episode for you. So we decided to change up our content a little bit so you didn't get bored of just hearing our voices, although we know how much you love that. And this week we have a really awesome guest joining us. She's such an interesting lady. I'm so excited to hear what she says about dating.
She has a super successful blog, which she writes all about dating on. She also is training to be a lawyer and has a female community group. So we thought she was the ideal person to have on as our very first guest.
You may know her from Instagram as @legallyfiercefeminist. Her name is Rachel, and we're so excited to have her joining us this week. Woo! So Rachel, we're super excited to have you with us this week, and we're wondering if now that we've given you a bit of an intro, if you'd be happy to introduce yourself to the Dump Him listeners.
Yeah, I'm Rachel. I am a feminist and law blogger, but I also write about my dating experiences because it has a bit of a feminist twist, which everyone loves. I'm also training to be a solicitor at the moment as well, and I work in family law.
Awesome, cool.
Can I just say, I love the fact that you said feminist first. I was like, that is so great. You're like, who am I? I'm a feminist.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That is brilliant. And I think we called you a lawyer in our, a training lawyer in our pre.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. People just go for anything all the time. I'm like, yeah, just go for it.
I've got so many friends doing law and I still never know what to call them. I'm like, training for something.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Straight and important.
Props to you guys, I could not do it.
Yeah. I was having a read of your blog, actually, which I have to say I absolutely love. So kind of when did you start it and what made you start it?
Oh, it's got to be like, oh my goodness, it's got to have been, I think it may be about 5 years ago now. Wow. It originally started sort of as a like, I want justice for the world kind of blog. I don't know why I started it like that because I'm never going to get it on my tiny little blog.
Oh, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it started as sort of like an angsty teen thing, and then it kind of turned more into a feminist thing, and now it's a law and feminist blog. So yeah.
Love
yeah,
that.
Super, super cool. I was reading the piece that I really liked today was about settling and like just not being in a relationship for the sake of it. And I was like, God, and I was thinking about it. And I was like, the thought of being in a relationship right now makes me feel really trapped. And I'm like, This is the universe going, don't get in a relationship. Like, it's not what you need. And yeah. I find that I'm settling like because I know it's easy. Right, and that does sound awful, but it's
that's harsh.
It is really harsh, isn't it? But you know, you're safe. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're protecting yourself because you're not having to keep fighting to be like, no, I'm here. Look at me. Don't look at the other girls. I'm the best. You know, that's all which really you shouldn't have to be doing in a correct relationship.
Yeah.
I really liked that one. So I did just want to.
Thank you.
Just fangirling.
Yeah, it's a bit. I really like the blog. I was like, right, I've actually got to start doing some of the work now. I need to stop reading this. It's been too long.
Do you find like juggling your blog and work? Like, do you find that it's you feel kind of like they're equal in your life or?
At the moment, I think my work is kind of like my number one priority, and that's always been like my number one thing. So I put that above relationships and everything else. That's my number one like thing in my work. And at the moment, I know people who are listening to this will be like, she never responds to my DMs, she never does this, she never does that, because I don't do that, because I finish work at like 5 and stuff, and then I'm still doing work or I'm still planning for the next day and things. And I find it really hard sometimes to balance like running a blog and an Instagram and things where you get loads of people messaging every day about your blog and stuff. So at the moment, I think my blog's kind of taken a backseat. I run my Instagram, so I try and put pictures up. I try and do stories to like engage my audience so they know that I'm still there and I'm still, you know, involved. But blog posts, they take a long time to do them. And sometimes you've got to have ideas. And normally, if I'm not in a really bad place, I'm not upset at a boy. I find it really hard to have blog ideas.
Yeah.
Because normally they come from when a boy's annoyed me and I'm like, do you know what? I'm calling you at my blog. That's normally where they come from.
I love that.
It's like that. It's like that release of anger as well. Like, get it all out. Like, be done with it. totally is. How have you found though that putting your sort of career before everything else has affected your relationships?
I think I make it very clear that my career comes before my relationships to a lot of people. And I think I've said it before that on my Tinder, my Bumble, I actually have a Legally Blonde quote with my description, and it says, if I'm going to be a partner by 30, I need a boyfriend who's not such a bonehead. And that either scares men off or they really love it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like pick up sort of like, it kind of separates men who are really scared of women who, you know, want power and want to have a good career. And it brings in the men who are actually like, oh, I want an ambitious woman. I want that. And I want someone who's career driven and things. So I've kind of, you know, it's been 3 years that I've been single now. So I've kind of worked out a sort of way to deal with them and try and put my career before that.
That makes
the thing
sense.
Is though, it's so interesting about the ambitious women as well. I think Francesca probably has the same, but like we're obviously very, very driven and ambitious, and there is such a clear cut line between men who like it and men who can't deal with it. And it's like these men, their ego is so big that the thought of their partner's ego being bigger is like out of their brain, you know, they can't deal with it. But I think having something so open and straightforward on your profile like that is that you then get the people who you want. You're not having to speak to time wasters. Yeah. And then you bring up you're really ambitious and driven and you waste all that time talking to them and they're like, actually, no, I'm fine. You know? So I think it comes, you know, thing about dating apps, I just think it's so important to be as straight and honest as you can initially on the front page. It's like when we were talking with Franks on a previous episode about guys lying about their height. And you're like, if you start lying about things, you're going to get the wrong people swiping.
Yeah.
And it just leads to disappointment.
Do you tend to be quite like upfront about your feminism as well in like the same way? And do you find that that also has like a polarizing reaction?
I mean, I'm not straight in, like, I'm a feminist and, you know, I hate all men and all this kind of stuff. And I, you know, women are rule the world kind of stuff. I'm not straight in like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the way that I kind of present myself as that, like, I kind of like, I don't take rubbish from men who want to like say things to me that are out of order and stuff. So kind of from the get go, when people start talking to me, I'm very straightforward. I'm very sort of like, I don't have time to waste dating. Like, either we're going to date or we're not going to date because I have a career and I don't have time to play these games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes I'll say I've got a blog and then they see my blog. And
it's some of them. We've had that one recently.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them stick around. Some of them say, please don't put me on your blog when I dump you.
Oh, nice.
What?
They've got that planned already.
I've had a text that actually said that. I had a text where he said, please be nice about me on your blog. And I was thinking, what even makes you think you're going to make it to my blog? We've only been on 2 days.
Like, yeah.
I haven't had it happen yet because I'm taking like an extended break from dating. But I've had like friends break up with their boyfriends. And then the boyfriends have said, well, don't go on your friend's podcast and talk about me.
No!
Excuse me, cut me out of your breakup. I didn't have anything to do with that. It was my own. Oh, dear. Something that we loved about what you do, Rachel, is how you kind of have your, like, community for other, like, young women. And I'd love to hear more about that and, like, what kind of inspired you to start that.
So Young Legal Ladies.
Yes.
So that is a legal group for... I mean, in the legal community, it is really competitive and it is really, really hard to work in law. But as a woman, especially, it is quite hard in law because obviously, you know, there's a lot of men in law and it's quite hard to work your way up to partner and things like that. And from what I was seeing, I was kind of like, there's a lot of women who feel like we're pitted against each other and we feel like we're pitted against each other in law when really we should all be empowering each other, because I always think it's important that we speak as like voices together rather than voices against each other.
Absolutely.
So that was what I was kind of aiming at, because I thought it'd be really nice to have a sort of safe space for women to be like, to go and they know they've got other women who are in law and who can say, look, I've done this, you can do this too. So that's just why I started it in the first place, really.
So how did you kind of start that up originally, and what place has it grown to now, and do you have any kind of like plans for where you see it going in future?
So I started by myself, and then I just got a few people, and I kind of opened it up and was like, I'm looking for a committee to get involved and help me out. And we've got a great committee now. They're all amazing, because I just didn't have a clue. I was like, I need these things doing, but I don't know about this and I don't know about this. And we've got someone who is from Ireland, and she's just passed all the barrister things. So she is really good at kind of drafting up documents we need. We're still in the very premature, like, we're still in the premature, like, position of what we're doing with it. But we have got lots of plans coming up, and we're doing, like, we do something different every day of the week. So we do Takeover Tuesday, Friday Lives. We do Self-Care Saturday. Sort of what's going on in the legal world on Thursdays and stuff. We do Women in Law Wednesday and stuff. So we always have things going on, and we always make sure that we are putting things out there for people to see. And we're really open about what we're doing, and we're currently going to be reviewing a new position. So that's going on tonight. For someone to join. And then hopefully we're going to be getting some ambassadors as well, so we can start to get further out and try and actually make a sort of society.
That's so cool. That's such an awesome idea. I feel like it's like really important to like group together, especially. I feel like law has a reputation for being quite like male dominated. Yeah. Would you say that's true? And would you say like this has helped all of your members?
Yeah. I think obviously there is quite a lot of men in law. And sometimes it is hard for women to move up the ladder in a career in law. So I think this is definitely going to help to encourage women to step more into their roles and to, you know, ask for things more, because I feel like women are scared sometimes in their careers to ask for things and, you know, to try and do things. And I think it's going to try and it empowers women to look, you're not a small woman. You can say things and you can do things with your career.
I love that idea. I think that's so cool. I feel like it's something that we're seeing more of over the past few years is like female collectives. And I think they're so important, because the world is just getting, I mean, other than like pure chaos going on outside, but it's getting so much more competitive. And I really feel for like the graduates of this year and the years to come, who've kind of had this like weird, tumultuous education. I think it's so important to like group together as women, especially, and like just say like, here's the best way forward, and get advice from the people who've been in your shoes and understand that. So I think that's
really cool.
But also like massive respect to you for putting your neck out there on the line and doing it on your own and starting it, and then like finding other people. I feel like that would be it's easy to join a group that's already got people doing it, but it's even harder to start it by yourself, and I couldn't imagine doing that. So lots of respect to you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, massive. Really, really impressive. How, on the male sort of dominated side of work, how do you find being in that work environment on, you know, a daily basis, basically?
Well, I am actually really, really lucky, because my firm is mainly female solicitors.
Nice.
So it's a very like empowering firm to work in, because it's all women like doing the thing. I think there's one male solicitor in our firm, but that's because it's family law, and family law is mainly female lawyers. But I think possibly dealing with men actually when you're actually in court and things, I've not had any instances where I've felt sort of like belittled by a man in court or belittled by another man that I've been working on a case with or anything. But I know that, you know, there have been women who have had instances of, you know, being told by judges that that's not appropriate court wear, or that's not like appropriate kind of things. And do you know what I mean? And so it is, you know, there are still little things that come on. There are still like little bits of sexism that do exist in, you know, in the legal world. But I've not encountered it too much, luckily, like in my day-to-day job. But
Okay, that's good. I always think, you know, when someone says a lawyer, I always think of like some, you know, kind of big guy in a suit, which is really bad.
I don't know the TV show, which is like even worse. Like, I've got so many friends doing law, and I'm still just like Harvey Specter. Like, I know it's not like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, my name is Rachel, so people do compare me to Rachel all the time out of suits.
Oh, God, of course.
I love that. That is cool.
I forgot about that.
Do the people that you work with know about your blog and like the legal feminist side of it?
A few of them know about it, yeah. But it's not, I mean, and my boss knows that I'm really good with technology, apparently, because she's asked me to do all kinds of stuff. like, I know you've got a blog, Rachel, you do all this and this, I don't know how to do it. But they're not too sort of like involved in my blog. But, you know, I try and I don't ever mention where I work on my blog. Yeah. I never talk about where my job actually is and stuff. Because I try and keep it separate from my blog. So, you know, I am a sister and things, and I do talk about it, but also I try and keep my blog and my work very much separate.
I think you have that really great like intersection of things where you've obviously got like a feminist audience, because the points that you make on that side are so like valid and relatable and really thought-provoking, but also you've probably got a big cohort of like young women in law, and they're following you for that side of things, and maybe they didn't originally click follow for the feminist side of it, but they're also getting this like amazing content. And I think that's something that we don't see many influencers kind of intersecting there, so it's really interesting. It's an interesting space to be in.
Yeah,
and it's obviously super cool to read your kind of posts and like how you navigate that content without obviously weaving it into like feminist everyday work stuff, but like having it both stay relevant. So it's very cool.
Yeah,
I'm fangirling as well now. Damn, let me get off.
Yeah, see, it happens really easily.
I know, you're like, I spend my day reading this blog. Yeah.
Literally is. What about though? You probably haven't done so much now, but maybe in training, you know, sort of dating within the workplace. Is that something you've delved into, or you've kept it separate?
Dating with people actually like in my office.
Oh yeah, but if there's only one, then he's
I've heard there's a law bubble. I've heard you don't, there's like a law bubble.
I have so I dated a barrister for a few months.
I mean, that's good, right?
That's a story. I just know it is.
They're important, right? eyes was like
it was strange because he was a barrister. He wasn't a barrister in my area of work that I work in, but I know that there's a very high chance we'd have bumped into him in the courts that I'm in the future, which would be fun anyway.
Yeah, somewhat irritating.
But it was weird dating each other, because we would meet up and we would just talk about our day, and we'd just talk about, oh, I was on this hearing, I was on this, blah, blah. And it was really like, I can't switch off, because we try to not talk about it. We try to not, but I mean, there's this thing that we call conference. So when barristers and solicitors have a discussion, they call it a conference. And one time we were going to FaceTime, and he was like, when do I do our conference? And I was like, that's it. That is it. I don't think I can, like.
Oh, no. No.
It was a bit too much. So I have, like, I know a few male lawyers who I've talked to, and, you know, been who dates with a few others. But for the time being, I'm very much veering away from lawyers, and I want nothing to do with, I don't think I want to date one for a while. To be honest.
I mean, you don't really want to like go on a date and feel like you're being mentored, do you? Oh god. Because I find it like, whenever I go on like dating apps and stuff, I always worry, even though I'm like based in London and work in London, I always worry that I'm going to come up against someone that I work with, or like someone I have like meetings or something with, or like one day a guy will like log on to a call new and it'll be someone I've dated before. I live in fear of that, but apparently the legal bubble is tiny. Like, that must be, there's a real risk of like coming up in court against someone and you're like, oh, so you've drinking.
Yeah.
Get a little snog at the weekend, all day. That sounds like a nightmare.
Well, there was one that I dated as well. Just before COVID hit, I was in court and I walked out of the room and I was thinking, my God, that is him. That was another lawyer I dated, who was stood not that far away from me. And we both were awkwardly like, you know, when you're trying to not look at someone, but I was also looking at him like, look at how well I'm doing without you now. Like, I don't need you.
Yeah, 100%. That like post, what is it going on TikTok at the moment? Or the post breakup glow ups. That sounded a bit of a mouthful, but And like, people are doing so well. And I'm like, God, I almost need a breakup so I can have my glow up.
I was saying that earlier, like every time I get broken up with, I like get really skinny and like better, and I start going out, wearing less and going out more and looking good. And like, because I've not been broken up within a few years, now I'm just like, I'm at that, like, I'm like, I'm in the middle of a relationship. I'm like, I don't have to make any effort. I'm cool. I'm single. Like, if someone wants to break my heart in the next week or two, because I've got things to look better for. So I think that probably brings us on quite nicely to our like discussion topic for this week. So we were wanting to talk about things that guys do that give us the ick. So this actually started, funnily enough, from a TikTok trend where girls were basically saying like, oh, imagine him like jumping up and down with his arms in the air at a concert, or imagine him like carrying a tray of drinks that are full to the top and he's like trying not to drop them. And if you picture the guy doing that, you get the ick. So we were wondering if you can think of any that, I mean, other than when he calls your Zoom date a conference, if there's any that you, that come to mind when you think of like, oh my God, the ick.
Can I just say, you go.
No, you go first.
First off, I just want to say one thing that's giving me the ick at the moment. These TikToks made by really straight white men of, you know, the ones where they're saying things like sexually, like, have you seen these TikToks where they're like, mimicking like, oh yeah, come get in bed with me, all that kind of stuff, or like, oh, have you not seen these?
I've not seen them.
No, I'm on a really new corner of TikTok that's like really weird, like rogue humor.
I've just got really, really good looking guys doing that freaking, you know, where they thrust their thing up in the air.
That thing,
they're all 15 years old.
That is not okay.
Oh, I hate that. The one that gives me the ick is guys tying their jumpers around their waist.
Oh.
No, I don't like it. I like the little across body one that's got a little something
around the neck.
Like, yeah, but no, but like, or like over one arm, under one arm. See, it's like a sash. Okay, stop putting that face. If you see it, you'd like it. Yeah, I was like on a night out, like speaking to a guy once, and he was like, oh, one sec, took his jumper off, tied it around his waist, and I was like,
see ya.
So I'm gonna stay talking to you because I'm desperate, but like, I will be honest later.
Oh, the thing is though about the ick, right, and I did have it, but I can't say what it was. I'll tell you guys after, but I can't now.
Is it because he's listening?
I don't know if he's listening, but it's too personal to share publicly. And the thing is, I feel really bad because they don't know that they're doing these things, and you're like, like this poor
but
guy
it's not
tying
intentional
a thing
either. Like, no, these men are just living their lives, but they'll just do something, and you're like, oh my God, I hate you.
It is the most like stupid thing ever, isn't it? They do the tiniest thing, and you're like,
Or like suddenly you'll notice things they've done the whole time that you thought was like endearing, like certain things they say or like certain ways they touch their hair. And like in the early stages it was cute, but because you got the ick, it's like, of course.
But I think it's basically the universe going, get out of there. Like, be done with that. You need to move on. You don't like him. Someone better is waiting. Just go.
Yeah. Oh, it really is.
It's a positive.
I'm trying to think of other things that like give you the ick. Do you think it's just, it's the thing, or the, is it dependent on the guy that's doing it? If that makes sense. Like if it was all guys tying their jumpers around their waist, would we repulse universally? Or is it just like certain ones that like had a charm and then they're like, oh, schoolgirl, jumper tight.
Yeah. No, I think it can depend on the guy as well. Yeah. I think definitely it can depend on the guy, because some guys suit doing things and saying certain things, and some guys don't suit doing and saying certain things, and they should stay in their lane. Like, they've got a lane, they've got an aesthetic, like they should just stick with what they know, and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
But I think also that's why, like, especially dating people at our age, and why I prefer going for the nearer 30 guys, although I don't actually, because they want marriage and I don't want marriage right now.
When have they ever asked you for marriage?
Yeah, and then didn't reply to me for 48 hours. Remember that one?
Yeah, no, but he didn't, like, he just threw it out there as an idea. He didn't like actually put a timescale on things.
No, I mean, he didn't get down on one knee, but we were thousands of
Let's not write off the guys around 30.
Okay, well, anyway, personal preference. I'm now not dating people that old. Unless someone wants to take me out, then I'll go.
beggars can't be choosers, Kitty.
Yeah, I mean, that's not picky anymore. What was I saying? Oh, staying in the lane. Yes, that's it. So I think people sort of around the young 20s, they're still trying to find out who they are. And I think that's when they're sort of trying these different stereotypes. And I think also, I think you see it on TikTok as well. And you're like, that's not for you.
I feel like that kind of comes from my emotional maturity, though, because I feel like all of my female friends in their 20s like know who they are and like know what kind of person they are, and they're like making that work, and we've kind of been through our like teenage turmoil and we've come out the other side and we're like gathered people, we have our shit together, we know what we're doing. Whereas like guys at this point, they've had that like delayed teenage who am I thing. And I just, a lot of them at the moment are like, I'm a mummy's boy, but I'm actually really cool. Look at my chains. It's like, please, just know what you are. So
my chains. What's that? Yeah. Chain necklace.
What?
Well, like a chain necklace.
Yeah, like necklace. A chain necklace.
Oh, I don't think I could date someone with a chain necklace.
Yeah, I have done before. It was very tempting to just like push it off the bedside table. Like,
oh, it's gone. I don't know where it's gone.
Babe, you took it off and you left it there. Otherwise.
It's at the nightclub where we met.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
I don't mind the chains. I mean, normal people, he was wearing one, and I thought, that's not too bad.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. No, he's one of my people that, like, I'm so in love with. Like, I'm convinced that we're going to bump into each other in the street and then we're going to get married. So I feel like I can't publicly say that it's going to happen, because if it does, it will be, like, the Sun headline. Like,
who is this?
Paul Mescal. Connell from Normal People.
Oh, I'm not saying. Okay. No, carry on.
Have you not seen him? He's everywhere. He's, like, all everyone's talking about. I'm surprised it's taken us like this many episodes to get onto Normal People, to be honest.
Is it a TV? It's a TV series, right?
Yeah, but it's based on a book. Did you watch it, Rachel?
Yeah, I watched it and then I read the book afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he hangs around in a co-op somewhere. I don't know which one he hangs around in. I saw it on Twitter.
See, I heard it's in East London. This is all a co-op in East London, and I live in East London. There's not a co-op like walking distance of me, so I don't think we're like neighbours, but I'm going to find it.
You'll just stand outside for the whole day, just waiting for him to come in.
I'm just going to make my way around every co-op in East London, outside them all for like a couple of days. How much annual leave do you think that would take? Probably my entire year's allowance.
Is that worth it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. No, I think I'd be really disappointed if he didn't wear the chain in real life.
Apparently he's been seen wearing it, running topless, because he runs topless.
Don't tell me that! I'm going to ring in sick to work. Oh my God.
Oh, that's hilarious. Is it on Netflix?
And it's on iPlayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many not good things are on Netflix at the moment. Like, sorry, this is a big tangent, but Sex and the City isn't on Netflix. And I'm very sad about it, because I want to rewatch it.
The films are.
It is, yeah. But I've seen them many times. I want to go through the episodes again.
I've never seen the episodes.
Speaking of legal characters, because Sex and the City just came to mind, obviously there's Miranda. And then you've got like Legally Blonde, Elle Woods kind of vibe. Do you feel like the representation, sorry, this is back to our serious conversation at the beginning. do you feel like the representation of like female like lawyers in film and stuff, do you think that's like accurate? Or, because I feel like they've got a very, well, Miranda does a kind of like serious, like hard line, like persona. Do you feel like that's like representative of what like women in law are like or not?
I think lawyers are in general, when they're at work, not quite hardened, but definitely sort of like you have to leave your kind of like emotions and like your sort of like life to one side to go to do your job, because sometimes you're dealing with a lot of like emotional and stressful and quite like distressing things. So a lot of lawyers, they're not hard-nosed, but they're a bit sort of like you have to leave your emotions and everything behind because your job is your job, and that's what it is. Personally, I am a hard-nosed bitch. I've known that since day one.
Love that.
I am one of those girls who is like, take no rubbish. Like, I don't, like, things don't bother me. But I am nice deep down. If people listen that want to date me, I am nice deep down.
That's what we're like, we don't take texts back, we hate men, we don't want to be with anyone. Then we're like, but if anyone does want to, just DM us.
We don't hate men. I am men. Nice. Yeah. I am nice. I'm just a bit kind of cool and collected.
Do you think that's something that like you need to be like successful in law, or do you think that's just like a part of your personality that makes you good at what you do?
I think that's just me. Like a lot of people joke that I'm very like cold hearted and things. So I'll come home and be like, oh yeah, this happened today. And like my parents the other week, my dad like shed a tear at something. So I was like, oh yeah, this happened. And my dad was like, you'd be quite upset actually. And I was like, yeah, it's upsetting, but like, you know.
So oh, I
and my dad like never cries. So oh, it was one of those like, yeah. But a lot of people like, just, I think it's just the way I am because, you know, from when I was younger, I was told that I was very like sensitive and things got to me a lot and stuff. And so I think because of the people that I've dated and the way that I've had experiences and, you know, I was bullied and things, I think that's made me much more of a stronger sort of hardened person. So, I do say that I keep a distance and I am quite sort of like try to like not filter my emotions, but I think that's just the person I've grown up to be.
Yeah.
Far less emotional and far more like, you know, keeping my emotions to a minimum.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a very good skill to have. I'm quite like you as well. I'm a bit obsessed with things like reading books on concentration camps and stuff that like my mum and sisters cannot read because they're like in tears, whereas I read it like very logically and like factual. I'm like, okay, that happened, right?
Yeah.
And I was always told actually it's a very good skill to have, that you can separate your emotions from sort of practicalities and you don't let it overrun your decision making.
Because when you think about it, a lot of like high level jobs, they're, because they're so like fast paced, like emotion is like intrinsically linked to what you do because it's such a like intense career path. So being able to like switch that off to an extent when you get home is that it's probably like a really beneficial thing and actually probably like help you maybe get further than someone else who like comes home and has a cry at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Which maybe is more me as a person.
Yeah. I think I hardly cry. I think I think I cried once at a case I've had a couple of weeks ago. And just because it, you know, sometimes some things do upset you, but if I came home every day and I thought about everything I've dealt with in the day, and I didn't leave Rachel work, I call her work Rachel because she stays at work and I come home and she stays there.
That's so good.
Because I come home and I'm like, I leave everything there. Like, I don't want to come home and think about everything, because if I did, I think I would just... I would probably cry every day if I thought about it all.
It's interesting that you say that though about like being able to filter your emotions, because I feel like the persona that we see of you online with like the young legal ladies community and like what you post, I feel like you seem like such a like open book and like super like warm, and obviously not that you're not warm, but you're great, but it's like reading, it's like, oh, this girl really like wears her heart on her sleeve and is very like open and super like truthful about like how you feel. So it's interesting that you say that you see it maybe from a different perspective.
I think on my blog, I'm very open on my blog.
Yeah.
Just because it's different to me. I think my blog is sort of like, not like a diary, but like most people who follow my blog don't know me personally, so they don't know me and they don't know stuff. So it's really easy to go online and, you know, if I've had a bad day, I can put it on my Instagram and I can say like, this happened today, and I can guarantee that people, I can talk to people about it and stuff. But it's different sort of like when off my blog, like I spend a lot of time when I'm dating people and they might say, oh, you put this on your blog, and I'm like, yeah, but just it's on my blog doesn't mean it's about you or it's even about anything that's going on in my life, because a lot of the things that I talk about, they're not happening right now. They've happened, or, you know, they were a couple of months ago or stuff.
Yeah.
So it, I think my blog is like, you know, it is a reflection of me, but it's also not 100%, you know, that's what's going on in my life right now, and that's everything, and that's how I feel, and things like that.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like you've got a really great balance between like work and like social life and blog life, in terms of like you've managed to keep everything like fairly, like, would compartmentalize be the word?
Like, I will put it in that. Yeah.
Awesome. So one last question before you go, which I think we should probably ask all of our guests, is kind of, who is your like idol, like role model? Who do you look up to? Who's your like Queen. Yeah.
Queen. Oh my goodness. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, that's a really
tricky one. We stumped you on the last question.
I know you've left me think about this. There's so many people. No, one of my favourite, I think I mentioned this on my blog the other day, one of my favourite characters is Olivia Pope. So she's the one out of Scandal. And yeah, when I started watching Scandal, she drinks red wine. And I used to not drink red wine, and then she started drinking red wine, and I thought, look how serious people take her, and look at how well she's doing life. So I started drinking red wine. Now I like it. And every time I go on a date and I order red wine, he's like, ooh, getting red wine. And I'm like,
yeah,
I know. I'm sophisticated.
I do that, but then I go to the toilet and I've got like the blue around my lips, and I'm like, I feel like I look sophisticated, but I probably look crazy.
See, Rachel, you clearly, and from your Instagram as well, pull off the red lipstick really well.
Thank you.
Like, for red wine, for you, it probably just sort of, you just put some more on, it's totally fine. Whereas for me, I've normally got like a nude shade. So like red wine for me is like, it suits my face so badly.
I was watching like the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, like her Vogue like beauty secrets video earlier, and she was talking about like red lipstick and like power dressing basically, and like for confidence. And do you find that that's something that you do in your like day-to-day like work life?
Oh yeah. I definitely dress when I go to work to feel confident myself. So you always see me wearing like my blouses and my pencil skirts and like my suits when I go to court and things. I feel so empowered when I step in court and I'm in a suit. Like that is a moment when I'm like, I could literally take on the world right now, because it's amazing. And you go in court and they call you like Miss and things, and I'm like, oh yeah, I am Miss, thank you.
Yeah, I love that.
You keep calling me that.
That's so good. I feel like that's something that we need to adopt into our lives more, is like power dressing and like
being more of a badass. I find it with a lot with makeup, like the times I have makeup on versus the times I don't have makeup on, I can feel the difference in my confidence so much. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But the dressing, I honestly feel like I'm most comfortable in like black jeans and a jumper.
But black jeans can be bossy as well, if you like, whereas my boots and stuff, and a belt.
Yeah.
Black heels and black jeans and high heels, I'm so down for.
Yeah.
I'm so comfy.
I've recently bought like the most comfortable pair of like heeled black sock boots, and I will be wearing them every time I leave the house for the near future. I'd finally, in the end, after talking about it for months, I finally bit the bullet and went to Aldo. And I'll be wearing those just the Sainsbury's in the future, because you feel really powerful like clopping about.
Yeah.
I really like it. Are you working from the office now, or are you still working from home, Rachel?
No, so I'm working from the office at the moment because I started my training contract last month, starting in a pandemic was quite difficult. So I kind of wanted to go back in my office because I was like, I feel like I get to my work done in the office. So
did you like start working remotely, so you were like at home for your first day?
Yeah, so I was working from home during my training contract, I think, which was strange because, you know, it's the day you become a training solicitor and it's a bit odd.
A bit anticlimactic, just putting your trackies on in your room. My new job like at from home, and it was just so weird. I was like, sat down, I was like, cool, I've got a job now. Still in my tracksuit I wore yesterday, and I'm in the bedroom still. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rachel. It's been absolutely amazing to have you. We've loved having you as a guest, and I think what you're doing is so, so super interesting, And I would recommend any ladies who are listening to this, who are going into law or who want to read a really kick-ass feminist blog, to go and check you out. You are at Legally Fierce Feminist on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I was asking? I know that. but yeah, it's been absolutely great to have you, and thank you for all of your like awesome insights and for being so like brutally honest with us. It was super interesting to get to know you, and I can't wait to see the things that you go on to achieve.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been my second podcast as a guest, so oh, wow. You know,
I'm getting used to it now. You're a pro.
I love this podcast you do as well, so thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks so much. It was lovely really to meet you.
Thank you.
Well, that was such an interesting interview.
Rachel was so cool,
super awesome. Kicking ourselves we didn't start getting guests on sooner, because it would have made the podcast so much more interesting.
It's so cool, like
waffling on.
Honestly, it was so cool listening to someone else's perspective, and I think the stuff that she does is amazing. So definitely go and check her out, guys, because she is
really cool.
And such a different environment that either of us are even anywhere near. So it was so good to hear it from that angle as well.
Honestly, awesome.
We have obviously, as you heard two weeks ago now, I think we've had 2 weeks of the pet peeve. So we do have one for this week.
We do. Question, are we going to get like a jingle for pet peeve of the week?
Should I sing? Yeah, pet peeve.
That was like bad but good. Like I hate it, but I kind of like it.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll pause. Shall I go again?
Yeah,
okay. Go, is everyone ready?
Right. So this is about...
Oh,
sorry. Okay, right. Come with it.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Da-da-da-da. Pet peeve. It got higher. I went a higher octave.
Yeah, I was going to say that changed from the first. Anyway, I don't care. We're going to do the pet peeve. So my pet peeve this week is... Yeah, good sound effect. Is swear to God, is being ID'd at the supermarket. So I live like 30 seconds from a supermarket. And I like to think I go in there often enough, like multiple times a day, that the staff would recognize me. And the other day I was super tired. My eye bags were like suitcases. I'm getting forehead wrinkles because I was stressed from work and life. And I just thought, I'm just going to get a gin and tonic on the way home. I just deserve it. A little treat. I've had a rough day. I'm tired and stressed. I had my Nectar card in... Oh, I've given away what bloody supermarket is. I have my Nectar card in my hand.
I think there are enough in London.
That's fine. We're safe. I had my Nectar card in my hand waiting to collect my points for my gin and tonic. And the guy was like, have you got ID? And I was like, no. I'm paying with Apple Pay. I forgot my wallet. I was like, but I have a Nectar card and wrinkles and I'm 22, I promise. And he was like, I can't serve you. I can't serve you that ID. And I'm flattered. Like, honestly, I'm really flattered that you think that I'm like younger than I am, I guess. But I would like to know how many 17-year-olds are coming in at like 5:30 on a weekday with eye bags and like a little bit of mascara staining from maybe a few tears at lunchtime with a Nectar card buying gin. Surely they're picking up Smirnoff Ice on a Saturday night in like mini skirts. Like I was in like work from home gear. I was insulted. So that's my pet peeve of the week, is being ID'd at the supermarket when you're looking a bit haggard and you have a points card, because that's a very adult thing to have.
I was about to say I sympathize with the whole thing about being ID, but I can't say I have a Nectar card that I got refused an ID for.
What are you doing? You need to collect the points.
I don't really go to supermarkets regularly.
Admittedly, I have actually moved a few times since I got all my points cards, so my points are being sent to places I don't live at. But it's nice that I'm gathering them for my...
Oh, yeah, it's lovely for all your future homeowners.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys.
Brilliant, that.
But yeah, so what, like, I don't know, I'm just frustrated because I've heard this is going to turn into such a big rant now. I've heard from other people that if they remember you in there, then they don't ID you because they know from last time. And I don't know how much harder I have to try to get to that point. I'm just trying to be a regular somewhere.
Oh, bless you, babe. So you'll get there.
I believe in myself. So that's my pet peeve of the week.
If anyone else has any pet peeves this week, drop us a DM. And yeah. We will feature your pet peeve.
Hopefully.
I've had a-
send us one that makes you sound less of a 60-year-old woman, like mine did.
Don't sound like a loser.
Like mine.
Like Francesca.
Burn.
Bless you. I'm so sorry.
Okay, guys. Well, that is all we have time for today. As usual, you can find us on Instagram at The Dumping Podcast, Facebook, The Dumping Podcast, and Gmail, you guessed it, thedumpingpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and our website, which is actually, no, I'm just kidding. It's thedumpingpodcast.com. Thanks very much for joining us this week. See you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.